That's right, breaker, breaker. Sorry to cut you off, Schnitt. I'm coming on the airwaves this afternoon. Hey, I'm Ann Ella right here with you this afternoon. Hope you've been having a good afternoon. Interesting and different stuff happening all around the country. Are you political man today?
Political man.
Political man was here with us.
Nostalgia man.
Nostalgia. Oh, okay. Nostalgia man. Political man. How about nostalgic political man?
That would be good.
That would be good? Okay. Well, we've got him in the building with us this afternoon, and we wanted to talk about a couple of things. I want to say something about our Sunday programming on WCRS.
All right. Everybody liked it.
Well, I mean, we really did, I think, an outstanding job of providing a program for our listeners, particularly the shut-ins, those that couldn't get out. The weather wasn't very nice. I know a lot of people were staying in. There wasn't opportunity to go out in big groups and eat and do that type of thing. So we put together this program that started at 10:30 on Sunday morning, and it really covered all of our broadcasters on Sunday. And had some great music combined in there, and we have gotten a lot of kudos. And I want to say thank you for everybody that listened and for everybody that participated. I thought it was quite outstanding myself, if I do say so.
You and a bunch of other people say so.
So it was nice. And thank you for everybody that said those kind words about that. We also have had a slack day on peanut butter. It's been a slack day.
Slack day.
Not a lot of peanut butter coming in. Not a lot of peanut butter came in on Saturday.
I thought Saturday was decent, but okay.
No, it was not too much. But I attribute that to Easter and people doing stuff for Easter and everything. So I understand that.
Well, you're well over 300 pounds now.
Yep, we're over 300. We're trying to get to 500 pounds, which will just serve the Salvation Army for 1 month in their food baskets and groceries that they give out. But boy, that's a real blessing right now.
I think right now, anything that they can haul away would be great.
That's right. So if you continue, if you've already given and can give some more, we really would appreciate it. I hope that you can. We are still looking for more peanut butter. I'm known as the peanut butter woman. And I'm excited to have been able to bring this to the Salvation Army. You should see the stack of variety of peanut butter. The variety is what blows me away on the different brands of peanut butter.
Oh, yeah. I knew the chunky and the creamy, and that was it.
Yep. And I tell you what, all different brands of peanut butter. And I will say, you still can get a free Frank's Car Wash, and Frank's Car Wash is open. So you can still get a free Frank's Car Wash if you bring me at least 1.5 pounds of peanut butter. That's not a lot of peanut butter, just for the record. But if you bring me more, you're still going to get one car wash. But
yeah,
I really
I'm amazed at these five-pound tubs that
I'm telling you.
One person keeps bringing.
And 2.5 and 3 pounds. So please bring us some more peanut butter if you can. We really want to get to 500 pounds, and then probably we'll be starting over. But right now, they really need food. The Salvation Army really needs food, and they also need some financial angels, Jeff.
That's hard to find.
It is hard to find. So any donation that you can make.
People that were making good salaries that normally say, yeah, here's $50 or $100 are sitting home right now.
or you can drop it by. But they really, 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 I wouldn't be saying this as much as I'm saying it, but they really need the help for this Thursday.
What's their phone number again?
864-229-3407.
All right.
The Angel Line.
The Angel Line.
The Angel Line, yes. All right, so that's on the Salvation Army. Peanut butter, and we need financial angels. Two very divergent things, but they all go to the same place. So any way you can help would sure be appreciated. Now, we wanted to talk about a couple things here today. What is this about having to be a card-carrying, immunity card-carrying person to be able to go to work? What's the deal? Is this America?
Well, yeah, and it's been America several times before.
We've had to be card-carrying before in our lives?
During World War II, you had to have on you your draft status card.
If you were
and
a guy.
And then for, years afterwards, that was one of the rites of passage when you were 18.
To register for the draft.
You registered for the draft. So that's already happened to the populace. Maybe not to the female populace, but to the male populace. Have they tracked them and everything before? Yes. And you were very, very suspect if you didn't have your draft card on you. All right, and then when they were having the polio epidemics, I think it was 56 that they came out with the salt vaccine.
Right.
That everybody got it. Okay, when everybody got it, including, first it was all the children.
Okay.
And they did it a massive, massive program and inoculated everybody. And then they did the adults, young adults especially. And to go to the swimming pool or to the Y and use the swimming pool there or the shower facilities or anything, you had to have your polio immunization card.
Wow. You know, I'm surprised they're not going to tattoo it on us then.
Well, what I'm saying is that's not a novel idea. It's been around a long time. We just haven't used it in a long time.
Well, because a lot of talking heads have been talking about how un-American this is.
Well, you know, it was always, quote, un-American in one aspect or another. But it was always done because the greater good was for being able to identify people, whether it was for soldiers, whether it was for absolutely safe people from polio, or other things. When I went to China, one of the things they stamped on my passport is that I was checked for SARS. When we got off the plane, they at the bottom of the ramp, they stuck a
be careful, Jeff. Be careful where you say you stuck that. Yes, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, they took your temperature.
Okay.
All right. And then before we left the airport, they took our temperature again.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's when SARS was in China. Another one of the Chinese viruses.
Well, how about when you came back to the United States? Did they check you again?
No.
See, look at that right there. Shouldn't they have checked when you came back from China?
I think the Chinese don't mind exporting anything that's bad.
Shouldn't we have checked you when you came back into the United States? I guess that's my point.
Your point's well taken, and probably we should have.
Okay. I didn't know that, yeah.
No, but they did not.
Well, you know, you really think about it. You have to have a driver's license to drive.
Right.
Okay.
They have a voter ID to vote.
So is this immunity card saying the biggest thing they were talking about that if they were going to check you to see if you had the immunity to the COVID-19, that then people I mean, I'm going to laugh, but then people would go out and actively try to get the disease so that they would have the antibodies in their system, because that would allow them to be out working, et cetera. It's to go back to work is basically what this was about.
Well, even though it's a big number here,
yes,
it's nowhere near the workforce number.
Correct.
So it absolutely, from that standpoint, couldn't work. Now, it could work for some particular jobs and some particular units of jobs, like hospitals. Mm-hmm. But shoot, they couldn't even get their own people to take flu shots.
Right. So, and, you know, I think the other thing is we don't have a shot that you can get that will prevent it. We don't have a vaccine for it yet.
Well, they say now 15 months.
See, that's a whole nother year.
Right.
That's a whole nother year before we have a vaccine.
Well, from what I've read is that it doesn't go away.
What, this COVID-19 does not go away?
Right.
Okay.
It diminishes. And maybe you can quarantine the certain areas off to where they never get it. Mm-hmm. But we're the most traveled country in the world.
Sure.
What would work in China or Russia or whatever, or even the Middle Eastern countries, just wouldn't work here.
Yeah, you know, I think I heard on the news this morning that COVID-19 spreads a tremendous distance, whereas somebody that has the flu could give it to between, it was either 4 or 9 people, okay?
Right.
One person has the flu. But this COVID-19 was a huge number. I mean, it's very, very, very contagious.
500-600 people, if they were in an environment where they could make contact. Now, contact isn't
touching, right?
Isn't running up and tapping somebody on the chest or shaking their hands or giving them a kiss. Contact also embodies sneezing, coughing, wheezing.
Yeah.
You know, the
droplets
whole thing.
Are very contagious, very contagious.
And they say they go out 13 feet. We don't have a room in the place.
We don't have a chance, Jeff. We don't have a chance. But that's why I do believe that wearing masks is a very, very good idea out there.
Oh, I do too. And lately I find myself talking through a closed door.
Yeah.
It's glass.
It's not going through the door, Jeff. Yeah, but
right.
But the mask thing I can see is something that we could be living with for a long time. I heard somebody talking about going into restaurants and having a place in the mask so you could eat, but you still wear your mask. Now, that's going a little bit too far for me. When I'm eating, I want to be comfortable, folks. Yes?
Yeah. I can see them putting the... A modesty screen around your table.
There you go. Or a veil. Maybe
right.
A veil. You know, like they wear veils in certain countries. I don't know. Yeah, okay. But anyways, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know whether restaurants are going to be able to have the number of people in them that they used to have. Are they going to make people stay spread out more? There's a lot of possibilities of things that are going to
all
be coming
I can
down.
Remember is we went to 47th Street Oyster House one night there in New York, and you remember you had to crawl over the top of people
yep.
to get in and out.
A little two-table was right next to another little two-table. In fact, the waiter could not get in between the two tables
right.
to wait on you. He had
right.
to stand at the end, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pass it down.
Yeah.
Well, hell, I don't know these people.
Yeah, well, that may be a thing of the past.
I think that is a high probability.
I tell you, the other one that becomes a big problem, I think, is buffets.
Buffets, yeah.
Buffets, I think, have always been a little bit of an issue, are going to be a much bigger issue futuristically.
Yeah, you can't put big enough sneeze screen on a buffet. The other thing is that's going to disappear when you think about it is the public water fountain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just don't see them anywhere having a public water fountain at this point.
Yeah, well, that's water bottles and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
We had, okay, so we wanted to talk about that aspect, and what else did we want to talk about? We had two issues. I've forgotten what the second issue is, Jeff.
Oh, my God.
Okay, do you remember?
No.
Oh, my God, you were supposed to remember. We had two issues we wanted to address, the immunity cards and, how are they going about? Was it about how they're going to open up the government and how, or not the government, the country, the businesses? And, you know, there's a lot of discussion about how this is going to happen.
Right.
I just heard where California, Washington State, and Oregon are going to be working together.
Right.
To form a consistency on the West Coast, and six states in on the East Coast are going to work together to try to do something. And then you've got Trump jumping up and down in the middle saying, no, no, I'm in charge. You governors can't make that choice.
Well, actually, I think they can.
I agree.
I mean, Cuomo's got a good idea. Well, he came up with it and sold the idea, and the other people are picking up on it. It's a wonder that they didn't pick up on it before. He's got a council of governors. Well, it doesn't do you any good if the if the state beside, especially industrial states like Pennsylvania, Eastern New York, and New Jersey. Whether one state has it and the other one doesn't, well, it's a half hour or hour's drive or a train ride to where it does.
Are we going to be quarantined within our own state and not be able to leave our state is kind of what you're saying here, and is that even possible?
It is possible.
You know, Governor McMaster wanted people from out of state to have to self-quarantine or when they're coming across the border, he didn't want people coming across, staying in our state.
Well, Florida did a good job of it. You know, when New York first had the coronavirus whacking it, the influx into Florida was something like 70 or 80,000 people out of New York.
Wow.
And he tamped that down, the governor down there, DeSantis, I believe, tamped that down immediately.
Yeah.
And let's just take Savannah and parts of Charleston. There's no joy riding along the beach now.
Yeah, that's true.
You couldn't stop the big groups from falling, of young people.
Getting together.
They were together, but if they don't have a venue and a way to get there, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, that was not the topic that we wanted to talk about. It came to me what it was. This idea that has been floated out there that the people should receive $1,200 a month checks from the government through September, and that this is an additional to make you get out, number one, and spend money, number two, have enough money to pay your bills, put you back to work, still everybody through September. This is an economist out of Maryland, I believe, that has this idea.
Well, all of their ideas were fine, except the greatest impact here in the United States on jobs are the service jobs. And the greatest impact on the service jobs were waitresses, cooks, restaurant personnel, service
people, hotel people.
Yes, hotel people, and the idea of getting unemployment plus $600.
Well, like they were talking about, if you got $400 from your state and then a national unemployment of $600, that's $1,000. That was a week?
Yeah.
That was a week, I think. That wasn't a month. That was a week. Are you going to go back to work if you can sit at home and draw that kind of money?
I don't become a waiter.
Yeah, I mean that doesn't work. I mean that is not going to get people back to work.
It just won't get people back to work, but that was stupidly fought out to begin with.
I think was that something the Democrats added there?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. That is in the CARES bill that we're currently waiting on the $1,200. By the way, I think they said, what, something like 80 million Americans on Wednesday, they will be releasing a slew of these checks into people's bank accounts.
15th.
Yeah, that's Wednesday. Okay, Wednesday. And then they'll do another group, but Wednesday. And some people have already gotten them. But really, if that's the only help that is coming, that is not going to help the majority of Americans.
I'm all for tying it directly to people and not whether they're working or not.
Yeah. And that it, this would be very expensive to do, but on the other hand,
much cheaper than this other thing.
Yes. So, I don't know. I think they've already set the unemployment thing up that way, so I don't know how that's going to work or how long it works for. But he said through September would give us opportunity to get this country back rolling and get people working and getting people able to spend money, because we've taken now, God, it's almost 2 months of
it is
people
too
not
much.
Working. Yeah,
it
people
is
not
too
working.
Much.
Yeah, yeah, and this is too much. So I thought that was an interesting idea. Don't know whether anything's going to be done on that. There are grumblings of number four, and they're talking about how they're going to do it or who or what, you know, who's going to get what and how much. And, you know, I think it's been said that the Democrats are looking for a way to prove to people that they are the people that should be in charge. So we can all sit at home and collect money from the government. Who knows where it's coming from? But we should be able to do this.
Well, the government, you
who
know
is
who
the
we
government
are.
Anyways?
That's your paycheck.
I know, and that's what people seem to forget, that the money that comes from the government is our money that goes to the government, and that is my point exactly.
Yeah, it gets filtered.
Yeah, they seem to forget that when they're up there printing it and coming up with ways.
Well, yeah. A lot of the things that they did in a hurry, you know, they'll have to unwind at leisure here. Yeah. And that unemployment bundle is one of them.
You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Go ahead.
And some of the things they did on import-export is another one that's going to have to see where it goes and unravel.
What do you think about moving a manufacturing in our medical, our prescription drugs and all this back to the United States? Do you think that is something that is going to happen? I mean, everybody's talking about, oh, yeah, should be a good thing.
Here's my feeling on it.
Okay,
you can build an overseas plant for overseas export in any country you want.
Right.
But for the domestic market, you have to have your facility here.
So you should have two plants, perchance.
They have them anyhow.
Okay, one overseas and one that serves the American people here. So in a dire situation, our country is covered.
That is true. You know, it always happens that the best of intentions turn out to be wrong. During the Korean War, the MiG-15s that were first came out and just tore our planes up in the beginning there. Now, mm-hmm. towards the end, we were really whacking them, but we had the F-86 Sabre. But the MiG-15 wouldn't have been in existence except for the fact that the British gave them Rolls-Royce engines to use for domestic program.
And they took them in and made them into fighters.
Right.
Ah.
They re-engineered them by taking them apart and figuring out how each part was manufactured, what it was manufactured from, and then it took them just a very short time after re-engineering the engine to build their own and even improve on it. Good example.
Great example.
Well, the other great examples is everything from the cell phone to drugs. And the other thing is, a few years back, we were hemorrhaging because of the fake drugs coming in from China.
Yes, that is true.
I trust nothing that the Chinese government has. I trust everything on the Chinese people.
Yeah, I think that's where it gets, this is where it is getting lost, isn't it? It's like we're against the Chinese people. We are not against the Chinese people.
No, good people.
Good people. It is the country. It is the government of China.
The government, the leadership.
And it's just over and over. I don't know how many times we have to see it before we start believing it.
You know, when they say the Chinese people want their place in this pantheon of greatness type thing. Now, Chinese people I've always met, and I met quite a few, from guys that owned a restaurant in China to colonels in the Chinese army. They wanted the same thing as we did. They didn't look around and say, I'm going to sacrifice myself so we could have the government give away money to these other nations to be able to buy their help. Just didn't happen.
No, they're humans like everyone else.
Right.
And they want their families, and they want to be successful within their
own
rights.
And they want safety.
Yeah.
They don't want fake medicine. They don't want fake milk. Everybody's forgot about that.
That's but right. That was huge just
that
a few,
was
years,
huge.
A few years ago.
Yep. Tens of thousands of babies in China and in Southeast Asia, even in Australia. But they seem to forget it.
And there were lots of pills coming in here to the United States that were labeled
anything.
From
Viagra was a big one. A lot of fake Viagra sold out of Canada into the United States by Chinese depot people. Yeah, I mean, we don't seem to learn real quick.
No, we're too quick to want to make that deal and make the prices cheap, though we're not getting the quality that we should get.
Yeah, and I really don't think the American public gives a darn about whether the pair of drawers they buy for their old man at the Kmart costs $229 or $249. That extra 20 cents wouldn't mean a thing.
Well, you know, we just need to be proud to be an American. We need proud to be happy that we have American products. We need to bring back that pride.
Oh, well, you know, the campaigns of the 70s and 60s and even 80s was
buy American.
Born in the USA.
Yep.
And that went for everything. And I can remember the slogan in the 50s, what's good for General Motors is good for the USA.
That's right. Yep. Car commercials. There were a lot about that. Car commercials that had to do with
right.
being good for the USA,
right.
being made in the USA.
I'll tell you what I'm missing.
Yes.
I'm missing the sales shows. The jewelry sales shows, the gun sales shows, the car sales shows. The big shows in Las Vegas like we like to go to.
Oh, yeah. Well, probably not going to have those anytime soon, Jeff.
Well, we did them for a lot of years, and we sold a lot of stuff. But I don't know anything. The internet doesn't replace that hands-on from foreign buyers and wherever.
Well, you know, basically, humans are social people.
Right.
I mean, we
they
crave
like to be
social. Yeah, and they like to be social, and they like that closeness. And this is going to be a problem for a long time, and I am going to be very interested when we actually open up the country and people can start going out, how quickly people are going to go back to the restaurants, how quickly people are going to want to go to a sporting event, be close to people, how quickly will people that, or will it take a year or so for people to feel comfortable being in large groups again?
One of the things that just blew me away is that there's an outfit called Snelling, and Snelling provides help for people.
Mm-hmm. The employment agency, right?
Right? And they have a whole division that does nothing but provide domestic, whether it's nanny or maid or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And requests for maid, cook, live-in, not from people that have small children, but from retirees, is outstanding right now.
Well, yeah, you know, we always used to talk about the cocooning aspect.
Well, this is cocooning, right. But it's not cocooning by the 35 or 45-year-old. Right. This is cocooning by the 65-year-old, the 70-year-old.
Hello for the restaurant table where they bring me coffee and tea.
Everybody relates to that.
That's true.
I mean, everybody needs a break, a little reward, a little self-gratification. And I tell you, the restaurants of the world did a fine job of providing it.
Yeah, whether it was a really super upscale or just okay, but it's the idea of going out and not having to fix your meal and having somebody clean up afterwards. Lord, I want those days back.
I had somebody I talked to this afternoon that told me how bad they miss Yoder's. And that you used to see the same people there, the same church groups, the same things. And I said, Ed, you were bored? No! I had somebody that I could relate to, talk to, and had a feeling about. And I thought, yeah.
With that, I think I have to play my song. I long for the restaurant table. It debuted on Saturday. Lots of people were very impressed by my song, Jeff.
Yes, they were.
Yes. Now, some people said I still can't sing, but you got to look at the words and the sentiment regardless. You know, if I ever got somebody to arrange a song for me, I could probably sing it, right?
Well, we got people out there. I can think of Mary Ann Linton and a few others, maybe Jake.
Yep, maybe somebody could arrange it for me. But I think we should close with the restaurant song. What do you think?
Yep.
All right, Jeff, political pundit, nostalgia man, thanks for tuning in tonight. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Ann.
All right, let's close it out with this. Hope you like my song. If you do, pick up that phone and give us a call, 229-7984. And don't forget, peanut butter. I need peanut butter for the Salvation Army. Here you go. It's the second day. I haven't played it all day long. I long for the restaurant table where they bring me coffee and tea. Table where they bring me coffee and tea. I long for the restaurant table where they bring me what I need. I long for the restaurant table where I see all the people. I'm tired of seeing the same four walls and watching the evening news. I long for the restaurant table with all the different views. I long for the restaurant table with different menus. I long for the restaurant table where they bring me coffee and tea. I long for the restaurant table where I see my favorite servers. Some know exactly what I need. some don't have a clue. But that's okay, it's part of why I long for the restaurant table. I could tell you more, but just know this. I long for the restaurant table, where they bring me coffee and tea.